My Hero Academia, episode 27,000.
3, 2, 1. What's up, Hero fans? You were laughing, Mark. You're throwing me off.
You're like, 2, fix the mic, 1.
Oh my goodness. You're disrupting this flawless performance. Oh my gosh. What's up, Hero fans? My name's Luke, and I am here to welcome you to Hero Notes, the My Hero Academia recap podcast. The podcast that aims to go beyond and recap all the chapters from the My Hero Academia manga by Koei Horikoshi. And on this week's episode, we are continuing our coverage of Volume 16 with the best cover of any manga cover ever. I love Kirishima. And this week's episode doesn't feature Kirishima. He shows up in a few panels, but instead features everybody's favorite wallflower, Amajiki, getting the spotlight, good for him, of the big three, in two action-packed chapters, no less. But with me tonight to discuss said chapters is, I like this, Mark, the Sun Eater to my Lemillion, Batman Beyond. Mark, what do you think about them apples?
Yo,
oh my
what
goodness.
Up?
You're the Sun Eater to my Lemillion. I think it's more accurately, perhaps, you're the Sun Eater to my guy in class B who we barely know, and we see him for maybe three panels. That's probably like close enough to that, but I do like class B, so you know, I'm happy enough with that. Although, you know, grow out my hair a little bit, get the tin eyes, I think I could pull off it.
You have to shave.
There you go, mission failed. Oh my goodness, I was getting all excited there, Mark. But Mark, you know the mission that we aren't failing, it's known as
the housekeeping.
The housekeeping, we always succeed in that.
Well, we had a really, really, really good chapter of My Hero Academia Vigilantes in the previous week,
and the sky was blue and the grass was green, and these are just common facts that everybody knows. Yes, it was pretty darn good, that Vigilantes. I wasn't expecting that one,
and we only have seven more days to go till the... No. Yes. 7 more days to go till the new one.
For real?
Yeah, they said see you in 14 days.
Oh, for real? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. At the end of it, it says see you in 14 days.
Oh.
Which tells me that we have 7 days to go.
Whoa. Well, I didn't do any maths now before the preparation.
Well, but... no. Like, a lot of... it's not uncommon for it goodness. To be, like, the second week or something like that. So I thought that's what you're referring to.
I'm just excited in general. But, Mark, what I really want to say is how not excited I was. I say that sounds like it's bad. I know. Are you? Let me just clarify. Are you keeping up to date with the main series week to week, or have you kind of dropped off again?
I have been. I've been reading.
Okay, so you read chapter 266.
Yeah, I read this. I read this past week's chapter.
Oh,
yeah, I did.
Boy. Oh my.
And I'm telling you. Until we actually see it.
Whoa. Oh, for real?
If I've learned anything from narrative,
oh, whoa.
until you actually see it, they can imply whatever they want.
You think Horikoshi would really do that, though? You think he would play us?
I have seen other things,
oh, no.
Like other series that have had people leading things on longer, where it's like, oh yeah, we're heavily emphasizing that this person's relationship with this person, and then only to be like, nope.
Oh my god! Well, if he, I don't know.
Saint Seiya. I'm not saying that angry. I'm just making like a. There's a very famous example of. Oh, I think this person is related to this person, but and we're doing nothing but making comparisons and like heavily emphasizing it, but no.
You know,
until I see body, it's whatever.
I was just really sad.
He could pull on your heartstrings, and then we find out next chapter or this coming week that no, something else entirely different happened. It didn't turn out the way you think it did.
I suppose so. Time will tell. Oh my goodness. All I know is that times like this, I really wish I really wish we discussed the new chapters week by week. Not to say that, you know, we have some good stuff coming.
No, that's a bad plan, because then we would miss weeks. Yes, but anyways, we have two plus ultra chapters, battle chapters for you this week.
Wow, lots of action. I like the sound of that already. Oh my goodness.
Chapter 140, me get the name, because I need the title things. 140, Sun Eater of the Big Three, and then 141, Hisaikai, Behind the Scenes.
Oh my goodness. I don't really... This is just off topic, but I like the title of the first chapter, but I'm not really sure how behind the scenes we get in.
It feels like ooh, Hisaikai behind the scenes. Is this like a little like fun chapter where we find out more about how the organization works? No, why this name?
I suppose it features Hisaikai. That's why. I don't know, but yes,
it's kind of hard as they're the focus of the chapter or of the arc.
The
so.
Arc, yeah. I mean, it is called the Chie Hisaikai arc, or overhaul. But he is also I don't know. I don't know, Mark. Oh my goodness. But what I do know is the first chapter that we're covering is called My Hero Academia Chapter 140. So neither of the big three. Pronounce that H, Luke. Oh my goodness. And it was written and drawn by Koei Horikoshi, which has a lot of H's in his name. Wow. And it first was published in Weekly Shonen Jump issue 27, way, way back in 2017, Mark. Oh my goodness. And we are in flashback land as we kick off this first page with the black borders. And we see, he's just cute as a button. Little Amajiki, Tamaki Amajiki. And we see from our little box narration here that... Third grade spring, I transferred to a new school on the very first day of classes. And then we see just cute as a button, Amajiki. He's like, and that's all he says. He can't really get it out. And he said, I really flubbed my introduction, and no doubt. And then he's just sitting all alone in the class because the seating chart had already been made. And everyone was together with their buddies. But the new kid... I was the new kid who started off on the wrong foot, and I didn't have the guts to assert myself with any of them. And it's not like I'd been all too successful at making friends before, either. I just thought of myself as a plain and boring guy. Aww. And then we see somebody say his name. He's like, what's going on? He's like, Amajiki, when you said he a minute ago. And then Amajiki thinks, that's when you showed up. And then we see little baby Tintin here. Oh my goodness, Mirio. And he says, you meant hero, right? So who are you a fan of? With a nice little smile and a thumbs up. And then Amajiki thinks, that's when he showed up and reached out to me. Oh my goodness, the start of a beautiful bromance. And then we move back into the present day and everything's all wibbly wobbly, Mark.
Yes, and then we see the group of police who didn't fall down the pit, and they're like, the lead unit is down. What now? One of the guys is like, keep moving, and we see that once again they're being led by not one of the officers with the shield. Now that's fine that like the lead officer doesn't have a shield, but it's like he's like running ahead of all the people that do have shields. They're like all here. They're like, what do we do? And none of them have weapons other than the shields. And then our guy in the wall is like, there's more of them than we thought. Better start mopping up this bunch. And now we cut down to where everybody fell from the last issue, and we see Sun Eater versus three of the Hisaikai. And he's like, as for those guys trying to slow us down, I can deal with them myself. And then your boy is like, what the heck, man? Like, let's do this together. And then the Hisaikai, who I would say is kind of like the most casual of them, he has a very Sanji-esque vibe.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, without, minus the cigarette.
Minus the cigarette, and his Sanji's eyes are not as huge. Yes. And the guy's like, yeah, work together, why don't you? More pigs for the slaughter. And then we have the police who don't have their guns anyways. They don't exist. Even in the anime, they're not in holsters. They're not in, like, if they have them, like, pouches on the back of their, like, backs, well, that's not how that's supposed to go. Uh-oh. If they're inside their jacket. We had the talk last week.
We sure did.
And he's like, that's Setsuno. Nobody pull a gun on him.
We couldn't if we
help
wanted
us out,
to.
Heroes. And it's like, where do you have your guns? They're not
what
there.
Guns?
And then this guy's like, I guess the secret's out. As he's like swinging his, he has a katana in his hand. I think that's a, I'm not sure if that's a katana or a, I can't remember the name for the shorter one.
It's sharp. I know that.
Yes. And it looks like he's starting to bring up his hand to use his quirk. He's like, I'll make it all the easier to go wild on y'all. And, Razorhead's like, that won't work. Now drop the blade. As just, Setsuno is like, what, my quirk? And then our other guy, who has like, he's bald, he has just like a medical mask over his face, he's like a quirk canceller, like Eerie's degeneration quirk. I've heard about this before. It's not he's not a guy you want to tangle with, but it doesn't matter. What we're here to do is slow him down. And he pulls out a gun from his pants.
Nice.
And you see the bad guys, the thugs having a gun in his pants, that feels on theme. The police having the guns just in their pants feels like, why are the police not given holsters?
You think they would have that, you know?
It just doesn't feel right for uniformed police officers going on a raid to just have them in their pants, I guess.
Street living.
And he's like, slow him down, nothing more. And he pulls out the gun. At this point, Fat Gum is like blades and bullets will just sink into me. Come quietly if you don't want to suffer. And then this like, I guess, is like, threats like that only work on people who value life. And then our police officer guy, Dunn's detective, and the other police officers just pull out guns. Just the guns. They're just there.
They are.
The guns are just all of a sudden.
And where were you hiding those?
We can use our weapons as long as the race is doing his thing. Now surrender now. And then Amajiki just goes crazy. I was gonna say dinosaur crazy, but he goes seafood crazy.
Whoa.
He attacks with giant clam, and then he attacks with octopus tentacles. And then we get a names for each of these guys' quirks. So we get Cessno, his quirk is larceny. Hojo, his quirk is crystallize. And then we get Tabe, his quirk is food.
Yes.
And then we see he's disarmed all of their weapons, take like the swords and the guns, and just slams them all into the ground. And he's like, I'll take you all on. And then he starts breaking the sword and the guns with his tentacles, and he's like, I get to indulge in plenty of takoyaki at the Fat Agency, so my octopus proficiency is maxed out. And I'm pretty curious about I'm pretty cautious about these things since getting shot. And then he turns his hand from tentacles into like crab claws or lobster claws and just crushes the guns and snaps the sword. And he's like, fighting these three doesn't solve anything. If our pros get caught up handling this situation, then we're playing right into their hands. And Cessno just starts laughing. And Midori's like, reaction shot. And Kirishima's like, but. Oh, and then Sunny's just like, it's not a moment to spare. Eraser needs to lead the way, and you'll need all the pros' quirks. Plus, you've got the power to smash through those morphing walls. And the police have their guns.
Oh, good for
which
them.
Is hilarious. And then he's like, Fackum, I keep these three occupied by myself. And he says this with, he's saying all this with exclamation point. And Fat's like, oh my god.
Wow.
Like, he's doing it. And he's like, let's go through that door. He's like, and then Kirishima was like, Fat, can't leave him. And then Cessna was like, hey, not so fast. And Racer uses his quirk on him again. And he's just like, again. And then, so Tabe is the scarecrow looking guy. And Aizawa just runs up to him and just kind of head twists, like twists the mask around and like snaps his neck, not like breaking his neck, but like around so much that it knocks him out briefly. And he's like, I'll knock them out while I've still got my eyes on them. And then Sunny just slams him back against the wall. And he's like, go now. And everybody leaves. And he's like, help Mirio. Or help out. Yeah, help out Mirio. He's like, I just know he's going to take things too far and needs saving. So then they all run away. And now the police don't have their guns anymore. They're just gone.
They don't need them right now. Like, oh my goodness.
Like, they're gone. and they never show up again. And I wish I was joking about that, but literally, their guns appear for one scene to say, hey, this guy's quirk's gone, we can use our guns. And then as soon as his quirk is, like, and then as soon as, I hate it, like, it legitimately pisses me off. Like, the guns just disappear. Even in the anime, the guns are just gone. They're just there, and then they're gone, and it bothers me, and it's really dumb. It's like, oh yeah, they have their guns. The fact that you need to remind us that they have their guns tells me there's a problem. Because they didn't have their guns. They never have their guns again. I, like, find a spot where they have their guns in this arc after this, and I will admit being wrong. Problem is I don't see it.
Maybe Horikoshi just doesn't like drawing them. You know, it's pretty tricky. You have to get a square in the chamber and, you know.
Well, you can at least put holsters.
Yeah. Oh, like, boy. Like
there just aren't guns from the police through the rest of this. They just don't exist.
And it's not like, you know, like I imagine.
It's not like they lost them. It's not like they have clips of ammo on them, but they have no place to holster their guns. They don't have guns.
Throw the ammo. You know,
It infuriates me.
I am no law enforcement professional, Mark, but I would imagine going into a Yakuza stronghold, one would like to be armed just in case, you know? I applaud the bravery of these men to be running in with no guns, except for that
their
one
guns
time.
Are in hammer space, I guess.
Boom.
They're either in hammer space or they've tucked them into the back of their pants, which is not what the police should be doing.
Street living. Oh my goodness. But yes, they make their escape, and Kirishima shouts, "Fat, what's the deal? Leave him all alone back there? Oh my goodness." And then Rocklock chimes in. He's got to be grumpy. And he says, "Hey, he's your guy, so it's your call. But it seems like a bad move to me." And Fat is obviously, you know, he's having trouble with this decision. But he's thinking, he's more capable than anyone else here. He's just lacking spirit. The pressure he puts on himself to be perfect crushes him. But
God, I feel that.
Do you feel the lovely black? Actually, I think it kind of works.
This is one of those times where it kind of works.
Yeah, it kind of works to emphasize what's being said here. But despite that, he still rose up to become one of the UA's big three. So if he says he'll deal with them, then I just have to believe in him. And we see that he's doing a pretty good job. He's got all three locked down with his giant octopus. Is that just one arm there, looks like? Wow. And then...
Because each finger becomes a tentacle.
Yes, we cut to Amajiki thinking. This trio is here to keep us from reaching the target. And I'm not seeing any trace of Irinaka or his mimicry ability down here. I guess he's prioritizing the cops up above. But it doesn't seem like he can monitor the entire maze and move it around in subtle ways. Either way, my role is to take these three out of the equation. And then Larceny Man, Setsuno, I think it is. He's not happy. He discounts Sanji. Couldn't use my quirk again. This is seriously too freaky.
Should be trying to use Diablo Jambe right now, but no.
Oh my goodness, where's the cigarettes? Amajiki's like, that one talks a big game. I should knock these three out before Racer's erasure wears off. Try saying that five times
fast. Except it already has, because as soon as you lose contact, it does.
Ruh-roh, sorry, but you're all about to take a little nap, thanks to my octopus fist. And then he's about, well, he doesn't say that, but he's about to hit him. And Setsuno gets ready, and then he with his zoosh, he gives a little headbutt to one of the octopus tentacles, and Amajiki knows that something's wrong. He's like, uh-oh. And then Setsuno says, "Surprised? Did you flinch? We get that you're in a hurry, but you better take us more seriously, you hear? Especially when you're up against the likes of us." And we see poor Amajiki's octopus tentacle got cut. And what cut it? It was a blade that was sticking out of Setsuno's little... bird plague mask dealy, and Setsuno is smiling behind the blade, and he says, "Guess you didn't know I was packing under this here mask." Jeez, maybe he's hiding all the cops' guns under there as well. Like, whoa, wow, there's maybe a lot of stuff in there. Probably not, Mark. Oh my goodness. But we also see Crystallized Guy get more crystals. Walk, walk. That's the noise the crystals make. And he's saying, "That sneaky jerk's quirk brought you some time, but that's all it did." And then with a gloom, he crystallizes so much so that he basically breaks free of the tentacle. Then he stomps out, and Amajiki gets clammed up, I think. But before he can use that clam, it whomps away because Larceny Discount Sanji Man nicked it on him. Oh my goodness. Kind of handicapping yourself if you won't kill us. What a charmed life you must live. I don't know why he suddenly turned Irish there in the last minute, but Amajiki's thinking, oh, larceny, instantly steals the person's equipment. I guess my shell counts as equipment. I guess that was the shell. And Discount Sanji says, we'd given up on life, you see, when we tried to kill ourselves by leaping to our deaths. A hero caught us. Can you imagine our despair? I really like the Irish is just really coming on this guy. We didn't see the point in living anymore. There's no way you'd understand. As Crystallized Man gets a big crystallized fist going at him. But the young boss found a new use for old garbage. Even trash like us have pride. When given a job, you can bet we'll come through. And big Crystallized Man goes with a big pow, and
it's a big crystallized punch.
Youch. Right into Amajiki.
Right into his flashback
bone. Oh, he knocked right into the flashback bone. Youch. So we get kind of Amajiki thinking back here. People make use of their quirks. Well, this is actually the teacher speaking, because in the flashback. People make use of their quirks at any number of jobs. Being a hero isn't the only option. How will you be useful to society in the future? That's what we're here to explore in quirk training.
And this is an absolutely fascinating look into the, unfortunately not the correct school, but to find out, oh no, kids, like when we've heard before, like they'll get training for their quirks.
Yes.
Especially if they're problematic ones. Like we see it in action, like as part of gym class.
But we see poor Amajiki, and he's kind of he's freezing up. We see a little
sprout,
sprouting out of him, literally. And the teacher goes, "What's wrong, Amajiki?" As everyone's kind of sniggering, "You should be capable of much more with your quirk. Are you nervous again? Fine, you tried back in line." Poor Amajiki. And then we see Mirio. Mirio's not doing so hot either, as he slams into a wall. He's kind of, what does he do again? What's the word?
Permeate.
He's permeated his fingers, but that's about it. And everybody's laughing. And then the teacher says, "Stop messing around, Togata. Your face didn't make it through."
So the thing I find really interesting about this is that they're having him do this, even though it means all of his clothes would fall off.
Sometimes sacrifices must be made.
Well, no. I mean, like, straight up, think about it. Yeah. If they're like, walk through this.
Those pants are going.
It's like, they know what his quirk can do. It's like, you're just telling me to get naked in front of entire class.
Get it? Yeah, oh boy.
Everybody... Like you get it. It's clearly not here just to put, like, his head through or something like that. Like, they're basically saying, yeah, walk through it. And it's like, do you realize the implications of what you've said? You probably do. This feels wrong.
Traumatic childhood event. Oh boy. But luckily Mirio takes it all in the stride, I suppose. He says, "It's super hard, I'm telling you. I wish you could all give it a try. It's got to be at least 5 times tougher than you think." And then the teacher says, "You're just kind of clumsy when it comes to controlling your quirk, Togata." But, you know, Mirio's looking on the bright side of things. He says, "Whatever, I'm sure I'll pull it off next time." And he's just smiling all happy. And Amajiki just kind of stares off and looks at all that he isn't in Mirio. Oh my goodness. And then we transition to them walking home, sunset. And Amajiki's just like, "Oh, you're incredible, Mirio. Even when you screw up, you stay cheery with eyes on the prize. It pumps everyone up too. I just can't. When I even think about failing, my mind goes blank and I freeze up. You're going to be a great hero someday. Bright and shining like the sun." And then Mirio's like, "What the heck? You're giving me way too much credit. It's not like that at all, man. The reason I work so hard is because I've got you by my side, Tamaki."
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Beautiful.
He's saying that he needs to believe in, instead of believing in the Mirio that believes in him, he needs to believe in the him that believes in himself.
Oh my goodness. Bringing a tear to my eye. And then Mirio continues, "I'm not really all that strong. It's just when I see you out there all nervous, but you refuse to back down anyway. I feel like I don't want to lose to you. Oh, we got that shonen rivalry. Oh, my goodness. And this kind of snaps him back into present day. Amajiki, he's back into it. And then he's thinking, lose? You're always building me up while underestimating yourself. Saying silly stuff, how I'm the sun. But I know the truth. That was all Muriel. Deep down, you've got real talent. The truth is, I actually do not know what Amajiki is doing in this flashback panel with his fingers here, Mark. Do you? Because I'm confused. He's like disconnected them or something.
Oh no, he's doing like the thumb trick, like the missing thumb.
Okay. The truth is, you're a fun guy with a bright side of your own, like doing thumb tricks. And Crystal Guy's like, what? Because he notices that Amajiki's back in, and Amajiki remembers what Mirio said. Let me borrow that word you used. You're going to be great. You're going to be even greater than any regular old sun. You'll outshine any sun out there. And Amajiki says, give it up, because I'm... And then Mirio continues in his little flashback. Anyway, you get the picture. Be confident, Tamaki. You're... And then just in time to, you know... chime in here at the end, Amajiki shouts Sun Eater, and he looks really cool as he kind of
crustaceans up,
yeah, and takes your man's fist and takes Crystal Man's fist and he's not backing down, and he's looking pretty cool. And that's the end of the chapter, Mark. Oh my goodness, isn't Sun Eater just one heck of a dude? Wowie. I really like that. Okay, so we'll jump into the next chapter, Mark, unless you have any
thing. Nope.
Okay, My Hero Academia chapter 141, with the weird title of Hisaikai Behind the Scenes, written and drawn by Koei Horikoshi once again, and it was first published in Weekly Shonen Jump issue 29 in 2017. And we open pretty much exactly where we left off, with Amajiki doing a badass counter. And he's like, I can manifest the characteristics of food I eat. I'll make use of everything my quirk is capable of doing. Chunks of muscle and these octopus tentacles can absorb any blow. And I can defend against damage from his crystals by layering tough shells. And Crystal Man is like, ooh. Well, he doesn't say ooh, but I don't... How does one vocalize that? Yeah, there you go. You use your quirk well.
It's different than the
yeah.
That's Damien.
That's the Damien.
You have to hold the t.
Yeah.
But Damien, it's t.
Sound effect 101. And then Crystal Man saying, you use your quirk well, but it'll only get you so far, as he kind of makes more crystals and they hit against Tamaki. And Tamaki's thinking, everything for 2.5 years now, I've been pushing my quirk limits at UA. As we see a cool little flashback panel of him getting wings on his arms, and I don't know what exactly. Oh, little kind of viney things coming out of his fingers. Training hard. I can change the part sizes, manifest multiple parts at once, choose which to use at any given point. And now I'm bringing everything to the table. As he shouts out his special move in a really cool splash page, or at least three quarters, as he says, Vast Hybrid Chimera Kraken, as we see just...
Tentacles.
Tentacle City, and he's even got like a cool mask on, and it's wrecking up the joint. Everybody's getting whacked around the place with a wham, 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 to go with the tentacles. And Crystal Man's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And Discount Sanji's like... So that's what he meant when he thinks back to Amajiki saying, I could deal with them myself. He's dealing with them now, I would say. Oh my goodness. And then Discount Sanji realizes it's time to get down to business. And he's like, Tabe, wake up. Time to eat. And Mr. Scarecrow twitches. And then we see one of the big tentacles crashing down. And why is that? It's because Chomp Chomp... Mr. Scarecrow is chomping away on the tentacles, and Amajiki is very surprised by this. And Tabe says, octopus, ellipses, yummy, yum yum. A man of few words, this man.
And he just goes to town on those tentacles.
Yeah, chomp chomp city. And Discount Sanji's like, ha ha ha, his teeth and jaws can tear through anything in a flash, and his stomach digests it all before you know it. There's no filling that guy up. You heard him?
He sounds very familiar to me.
Oh, really?
It's obscure. Obscure series. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. Something alchemist.
Oh.
Partially stone alchemist, I think it is. Yeah, I don't know. A character from that. Is it glutton something? I don't know.
I can see
just
it.
More just poking fun.
Doesn't have cool headgear like Discount Scarecrow Man here, but okay, yes. And then Discount Sanji says, "You hurting yet? I gotta say, you two are a match made in heaven." And Amajiki realizes that he's got a point, because he thinks that Eraser knew what a bad matchup it'd be for me, so he took out old Scarecrow Man first. But it's fine. I'll just give it my all, even with half-eaten tentacles. And he thinks, plus, I'm moving better than this guy ever could. And then suddenly his cool new face mask gets ripped off him. Youch. And it's only Larceny Man. Oh my goodness. And Larceny Man says, 3-on-1, huh? Ha ha ha. Just what you wanted, Sun Eater. You thought you could pin us down by whipping those big old tentacles around? And Sun Eater notices with a whoosh, some rocks heading his way, and really like a meaty punch here. We see in the panel below even that he was able to block it, but it really does look like he's taking some damage here, and he still does even with the block, because Crystal Man's thinking, I thought I nailed the kid dead on, but he just barely managed to react in time, as we see that he formed up some hard shell on his cheek to avoid the blow. But still, wham! Crystal Man whams him away. A weak defense like that can't block my crystals, though. And Amajiki looks, and he's struggling at this point, because he's got Crystal Man punching him. He's got Chomp Chomp, Scarecrow Man, Yummy Yummy, all over his octopus tentacles. And he's eating me down to nothing, apparently. That's no good. And then we see two very important panels here that we will definitely come back to later. As it looks like Amajiki kind of is like just there, and then he gets kind of swiped because he gets knocked back. We see Guh. So, but something's happening in these two panels.
But he's plotting. Yes. And he thinks, like, the common octopus has a neurotoxin in its saliva. It's now in the tentacles now. Chew on that. You'll be paralyzed. Or, like, once you do, you'll be paralyzed. And then the guy, like, Tabe, just kind of bites down on nothing because Amajiki, either his powers kind of went out, or no, because the last of his tentacles are torn away. He's in a... what's the guy's name? We were saying it earlier.
Larceny.
Setsu was like, I can't steal things when they're too big. But these leftovers are a different story, and he seems to have ripped the tentacles right off of Sun Eater. And then Crystal Guy just slams Sun Eater against the wall, and he's thinking, their teamwork is perfect. And I'm like, it's teamwork. I wouldn't say perfect. And then we
they're
see
not too bad.
We see like this image of all of them. It's like, and they're saying like, we might be trash, but trash can form solid bonds. And Amajiki's kind of laying there like damaged. He's like, you'll all be arrested, whether you beat me or not. You got no future. And they're just like, so what? And he's just like, huh? And then we kind of get like an introduction to all like an explanation of all of them. And I think it's Setsu saying, it's like, some were tossed aside when they didn't mesh with society, and we see Tabe is the one in the image. Then we see him. He's like, others were betrayed by a lover and beset with crushing debt. Not even allowed to die, he survived by sucking down water from the gutter. And he's like, all food, huh? What
because
he
at this
eats gives him power, huh?
At this stage, he's stolen Amajiki's little food pouches.
Yeah. And then we get the all this has been Crystal Guy. And then the Crystal Guy's like, and another became a tool, for some money grubber. And when that pig figured out my fake gems were worthless, we were deemed just as worthless and, you know, bad stuff. And then Overhaul came up, and he was like, that's what he was like, come join the Hisaikai. You shouldn't be rotting away on the streets. And it seems like they all may have joined at the same time, or roughly the same time. It's like, you think we care about what happens after all this? Like, he gave us value, purpose. So for his sake, we'll do anything for him. And that's when Sunny realized, like, oh, he's not controlling him out of fear. It's more like brainwashing. He's like, so you're hoping to be sacrificed like some worthless pawns? And then Crystal Guy yells, like, a hero could never understand. Prepare to die. You won't be so lucky this time. And then Amajiki thinks, he's like, we might be trash, but trash can form solid bonds. He's like,
this Crystal Guy.
Yeah, this is Crystal Guy. He's like, with your back against the wall, or you aren't getting away from us, or from this one. Sunny starts thinking, he's like, my attacks get gobbled up, and my defense gets stripped away. And we see he's made his foot into like bird talons.
Yeah.
And he's like, in that case, and he uses it to flick a rock right into Tetsuo's face. Great aim, by the way.
Yeah,
and
wow.
He's like, and Amajiki thinks to himself, I just gotta stop, like, or I guess it's a crystal, like, gotta, you know, tear their teamwork apart.
Yes, because he's thinking his larceny only works on objects that he can see. That's why the police wouldn't draw their guns on him. Well, you see, it all makes sense. And then, poor old Setsuno goes, ow, with his eyes. But now that his eyes are off me, Amajiki's able to get down to business, because Crystal Man launches his crystal attack with a crash, and but he's thinking, oh, because he's hitting something. He's like, those are my crystals. He sees
those are my heroes.
Oh, academias. The perfect counter to crystals is crystals, apparently, because he's like, you ate my crystals. You sunk my battleship. Because you're thinking, oh, you remember that two flashback panels when Amajiki was doing weird stuff? It was turning out that he was chowing down on crystals this whole time. Oh my goodness. And Amajiki's like, that's right, as he gets a big giant claw leg with crystal action as a bonus. So he's doing really good. And
Crystal Kung Fu action.
Crystal Man is like, crystals. Amajiki says, you really trust each other. And that was some killer teamwork. Not according to Mark. According to Mark, it was so teamwork. But okay, I'm jiggy.
It was fine teamwork. I just wouldn't say it was perfect.
Oh boy! And then Tabe is going to town, Chomp Chomp City. Eat. And then Amajiki says, "I might not understand your grief, your rage, everything that led you here." But then he gets more crystals, and with a whoosh. But I know all about solid bonds, as we see big giant chicken leg action with loads of muscles and loads of crystals at the bottom that go straight into Scarecrow Man Tabe, and he's not eating that, and it, basically it ends up hitting all three of them, so we see Larceny Man, Tabe, and Crystals, Amajiki says, and my friends don't use each other because friends don't eat friends.
At one point, did any of these guys say they were friends?
I don't know, but it was still a cool line, right?
But that's the end of the chapter.
That was it, yeah, you know. You have to, at some stage, he's like, okay, I haven't got much raw material to work with, but I need this cool closing line for the finisher, so Amajiki just reached for whatever he could. And when he's looking that cool, Mark, who's going to stop him? Not these three guys, that's for sure. Oh my goodness. But yes, and we even get the faces of these three guys in the page break right at the very end. We see Setsuno. Apparently he's a cool dude with the times. We see Crystals, Yu Hojo. And he shaves his head to make it easier to pump out those crystals. And then we see Tabe, who's looking whacked out crazy. And apparently he's always hungry. Big mood. But yes, two pretty action-packed, high-intensity, oh my goodness, Amajiki's really cool chapters.
Two battle chapters,
about time, right? I was hungry. I was like Tabe, I was chomp, chomp, chomping for some battle chapters, oh my goodness.
So Mark, Luke,
what do I think?
Of 140.
140, okay, I'll kick it off, and then you can tell us what you think about 141 first, then.
Sure.
So, 140, okay, apart from the elephant in the room, which is the magic magic guns appearing out of nowhere for one panel, and then disappearing just as quick. Which I'm sure, well, we've already discussed that, but I'm sure that will have an effect on your score, no doubt.
Oh, it will.
Apart from that, of course.
Because it's a massive plot point.
Yes, yes, no
doubt.
That's
why it will.
No doubt. But apart from that, really, really quite crispy chapter, Mark. I think you will agree. I hope so, from the majority of it. Good old Amajiki, you know. He's pulling double duty, because we even get to see little childhood Mirio action in the second flashback. But he's doing a really good job of, number one, being completely badass and super cool. And number two, giving us that crispy childhood backstory. It feels like, with these two chapters, Horikoshi does a really good job of making you feel like you've known this kid. Like, Amajiki only showed up in, like, what, volume 13, volume 14, but...
Not terribly long ago.
We feel like, with these two chapters, we've been on this journey with Amajiki together, and now it's his time to shine, finally. And he deserves it. But yeah, Horikoshi has done a really good job. If it isn't clear about my gushing here, Horikoshi has done a really good job of setting up Amajiki to be this kind of timid... wallflower, really quiet, and then showing him really come out of his shell here, Mark. Oh my goodness, you see, he was in a shell. He came out of it. Oh wow. 10 out of 10. No, but yeah, really, really cool. Like, we fell in love with this guy's quirk as soon as we saw it, and to see it utilized in such a unique variety of ways here, and even in the second chapter, but here. Really cool. The Chimera Kraken is the next chapter, is really cool as well. But I think this actually, if I was trying to, these two chapters just meld together so well. In my head, it's hard to separate them. But like ending the chapter with the flashback that kind of ties into the present day, with the name reveal that it was Mirio and Amajiki together that were talking, and that's where the Stone Eater name came, and then Amajiki kind of confirming that to him as he stands up ready to fight against these guys, after putting on a heck of a performance in the previous pages. Really, really good stuff, Mark. Oh wow. I'm going to give this one a 9 out of 10.
I can't give it nearly as high.
Yeah.
I'm giving it an 8.
Okay.
Even if we didn't have the police stuff at that point, I would just probably give it an 8.5, but we do. And that police stuff is kind of ridiculous because of how big of a plot point it is, that just before there are no guns. And then all of a sudden they have guns, and then the guns are gone. And yes, they try to hand wave it with like, oh no, we need to put them away because of this. It's like, well, one, where were they beforehand? If you had said, hey, we're letting you guys take point until we find this guy, 'cause he could just ambush us and steal it, that would be one thing. If that had even been mentioned, because clearly they knew exactly how this guy's quirk worked, but they don't. And then the guns immediately disappear. And then they don't show up. I mean, I'm not counting the fact that they don't show up again, but you brought it back here just to say effectively, oh, we can use them now because of this. And then, oh, we can't because of this. Mm. And then they just disappear. And it's like, you didn't even put them with holsters or something. Like, I guess the officers just have them in the back of their pants, like there's or in Hammerspace. Like it really bothers me, Antonio, because it's I mean, spicy. Where did they come from? And then they're just gone, and then they never show up again. I mean, it's a cool like first half of a battle. And I really like it, and I especially like how we get like the stuff about like the high or the like the middle school days and yes. Stuff like that. Like I really like all that stuff, but it's not till this next chapter where we get stuff that actually shines. Here it's like it's fine.
Mm.
In fact, it's even a little clunky at the beginning. When I say the beginning, I don't mean the flashback part. I mean like once we're in the present day beginning stuff.
Okay. All right, so
now, sorry.
Okay. So 8 out of 10, wrap up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, for 141, that's an 8.7.
Oh.
It's okay. A really fun battle chapter. I don't think it quite hits the 9, Mark, because he really, like, at the end, he's talking about them as if these guys are friends, and they've made no indication that they are.
Yeah.
And that kind of, it feels out of nowhere. I don't know. There's a couple little hiccups here and there in it. There's a couple of the black panels that I think are just kind of like, but no, it's very pretty. It flows very well, and it starts on a high note and it ends on a high note.
Yes. I would say that of the two endings, I do like chapter 140's ending more.
140 has the better ending.
Yes.
I'll admit, but this one is the more solid chapter.
So, this of the two, this is your preferred of the two.
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting. I would go 140 over this now, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. No, to me, this is don't get me wrong, solid chapter, no doubt. But like, it is also very... now, here I am eating humble pie here, because it is very action-orientated. And yes, this is me, the man who says, I want more action, saying, oh, maybe there was too much action. So I understand fully what I'm saying here.
What do you want? What do you want from him? He's writing a battle manga, and he gave you an entire chapter of battle, and you're like, that's too much battle.
No, too much fight.
I don't
fight.
Understand you, Luke.
No, you know... Who says I understand myself, Mark? That's the big question.
It's not like there's panels here where we're like, how did we get from point A to point B?
No, like, as a fight, and like a very tactical fight as well. Like, it's surprising, considering how much it looks like he's got him on lockdown, how much that these three guys, their level of teamwork efficiency, you know, fluctuating perhaps, but they do a pretty darn good job of locking down Amajigi, first with the Chomp Chomp City attack by Tabe, and then by Crystal Man. Ooh, crystals. Ooh, crystals all day. Crystals does a good job. And then it really does feel like Larceny Man, not Sanji, is like kind of holding them all together, and he's able to wrap it up with stealing all the gear pretty much and locking him down. But then it was some quick thinking from Amajigi himself that got him out of that sticky situation by chowing down on some ooh crystals for himself. But stuff like hitting the crystal to take out Larceny Man's eyes, Setsuno's eyes, like, that is really like solid quick thinking. Amajigi's pretty darn good. Oh, so like you're correct in saying that the fight, like, the choreography is all there. It flows well. While we did have some problems with earlier flows in this very volume, everything makes perfect sense here, and it all comes together for a very solid and tactical fight. But I don't know, Mark. I think those little flashback city panels that we got in the last chapter really did tickle my fancy, and like I so loved how they incorporated the past into the present to wrap things up. That really did a good job for me. So I was really happy with that. So like, the action is here.
So are you coming down to meet my score then?
I'm an 8.7. So like not the 9, but you know, still a good chapter nonetheless. Like, the action is solid, no doubt, but I think it was the feels that got me in the first chapter, and they didn't hit quite the same this time round, Mark. Oh my goodness. But yes, still some solid action, no doubt. And you know me, I love some action. And Amajigi confirmed to be a pretty darn good boy in these two chapters. Oh my goodness. Kirishima, you better watch out, because Amajigi's making strides right now. Wow. He's pretty cool, no doubt. If only Nedry could get the same kind of spotlight that Amajigi did here, and then everybody would love the big three. But we don't live in that world. Oh my goodness. But still, I like these Amajigi worlds that we're living in right now, Mark. It's pretty good. And I think that the only world for us right now is the world that we end this show on. What do you think about them apples?
And it's the world where you can find both of us on Twitter.
Oh, beautiful.
For me, you can find me on Twitter at @chalionx. That's at @chalionx. It's the world where they can find specifically you on Twitter at @lj_Hollywood, and the world where they can find the podcast on Twitter at @HeroNotesPod. And if you want to share this podcast with friends, family, the person you're hanging out with on Skype or watching Little Witch Academia on Netflix,
yes.
No doubt. You can find the podcast on Podbean, Stitcher, and iTunes.
Indeed. And where in the world would our listeners be, Mark, if they couldn't email us? They got to email the show at My Hero Academia. That's not the email. They got to email the show at heronotespodcast@gmail.com. That's where they go to email us, Mark. Oh, my goodness.
That is where they go to email us.
But, yes, as you pointed out, everybody go watch Little Witch Academia. I don't know why that would be relevant, Mark.
It's just, I don't know. It's just, it's what I've been watching. Sure.
It's pretty...
Totally not, like...
Pretty fun.
Watch through, like, 4 or 5 or anything like that.
I don't know what that could be. Can't prove anything. It's pretty fun stuff, though, yeah. And I don't know why they would want to do that. It's not like...
It's not like it's a really good show or anything. Yeah. From Trigger. Sorry.
I'm confused. But yes, go watch that and stay safe out there. And go beyond Plus Ultra Style, of course. And the most important of all is to stay tuned for the next episode of Hero Notes.
Same hero time.
Same hero channel.